Peace be with all of you, and we thank God that in this weekly service, we all look forward to this session. Today, we will talk about the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And this is a very important thing, because some people think that after the Pentecost, this is the beginning of the end times, because once the Holy Spirit came through the whole band of disciples, the Holy Spirit bring the gospel to the ends of the world till the end has come. And because we know all these are the work of the Holy Spirit, so we cannot neglect the event of the Holy Spirit filling people. So if any believer or any denomination or any church, because they are too conservative and thus they do not talk about the Holy Spirit, then they need to repent. Because if you do not talk about the Holy Spirit, it means that you are not talking about God. And so if you do not talk about God, then how can you talk about His great work that He's doing personally? So without the Holy Spirit, no one can be born again and no one can be the disciple of Christ. Because if there is no one who gives life, there will be no one who receives life. So without the Holy Spirit, then perhaps man can be a very devoted churchgoer in the church, but he can never be someone with life. So without the Spirit of truth, which of us here can understand the truth? And so if you do not understand the truth, you just anyhow behave. So the apostles has passed on the message and Jesus has left. And then in over a few decades, all these things will be lost and distorted. But because of the Spirit of truth, He preserved the Word of God. And so even if the churches over generations, there's a lot of heresies and cults, but the Word of God, especially the pure Word of God, the pure Gospel of God, has been preserved till today for 2,000 years without being lost. Now, without the Spirit of truth, without the Holy Spirit bringing us the Spirit of unity, then how can we have a Christian fellowship? Then how can we have such a worship service today? And how can we yearn all the more to come to church during pandemic? So you must not think that worship service is advocated by the pastor all day long, asking us to come church. Do not just think like that, because the Holy Spirit is attracting you, urging you to come. Because at this moment, if you stay at home, you will not have peace. And the Holy Spirit has given us the united heart so that we have no choice but to meet together. And that is the great work of the Holy Spirit. And so without the fruit given by the Holy Spirit, and how can we have the virtue and character of Christ? So at most, we believe in Christ and we become a good person, but we just become like Confucius and some sages, but you will not be like Christ. You will not have the heart and the image of Christ without the Holy Spirit. Because the heart and the image of Christ is given by the Holy Spirit, is the fruit bore by the Holy Spirit on someone who believes in Christ. So the love, peace, joy, all these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So those of you who have been a Christian for a while, you will slowly see that your old self, your old temper, will slowly disappear. And if you ask why is that not the case, that means that you are not submitting to the Holy Spirit, and that's why you are not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what I want to tell you is, when you cannot see, or when you cannot see it so obviously, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not working. But that means every time when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit works in you and starts to sprout His fruit in you, so that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be bore in the end. Some people, they have the obvious fruit of the Holy Spirit. We thank God. Now, without the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, then no one can effectively witness for the Lord. So those of us who are being filled by the Holy Spirit when they preach the gospel, when they witness, those who listen will not just laugh merrily, but they will be cut to the heart and repent. And these are all the work done by the Holy Spirit through the saints. And so, dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, in the book of Acts, right from chapter 1, before He ascended, He spoke important words concerning the Holy Spirit. You must be baptized by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, because when the power of the Holy Spirit fills you, you will receive power. And these are the important words in Acts chapter 1. And Acts is written by Luke, who also wrote Luke. So if you look at Luke, you realize that in the four Gospels, Luke talked the most about the Holy Spirit. And he talked about when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And then, when Jesus started to serve, He was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Then He was tempted during His prayer. And eventually, the Lord's Spirit anointed Jesus so that He performed great ministries for God. So now, the Holy Spirit who filled Jesus Christ, the same Spirit is now filling and coming upon all the disciples of Christ, so that they can do greater things than what Jesus had done. So the Lord Jesus had done certain things, but now all disciples will do. So now, throughout generations of believers kept doing the work through the Holy Spirit. So we must understand the work of the Holy Spirit, especially today when we want to talk about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of names to the work of the Holy Spirit. So when you listen to the 36 lessons, you will know sometimes we talk about the baptism, the filling, the conviction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All these interchangeable description of the work of the Holy Spirit. Of course, every term is slightly different, but they all talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Although there are different terms, but you must know that the work of the Holy Spirit cannot be replaced and it cannot be imitated. It's not like one person, he pretends to be very authoritative and he speaks very strange words like tongues that we cannot understand, or it seems like he can see visions powerfully. Now, all these things, those people who use all these things to imitate the work of the Holy Spirit, they will have a backlash because they are trying to use the visible to imitate the invisible. So, and this is the problem of men. So men's problem is to try to use the natural things to imitate the supernatural stuff. Now, in all things, the Holy Spirit takes initiative. He is the initiator. Sometimes we humans, we are not careful. We want to do some things zealously. But you must know, if not for the prompting and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to make a person work, then whatever you do will fail. Whatever you do, the effects will and the results will not be good. So do not be more zealous. Do not be more zealous than the Holy Spirit. Meaning, do not be filled by your own will to do and say whatever, and then you will fail. Now, a lot of believers, when they learn the Word of God, they learn in their head and mind, but whatever they have learned was not illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and they are not being convicted by the truth they learn. And so such a person, they are very rigid. They are not looking out for what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and they are not aware of the Holy Spirit's guidance. When they talk to people, they didn't see whether the Holy Spirit touched a person, but they just talk about what they want to say. Now, this is not merely concerning evangelism. Even in the family, your spouse may talk to you, or you talk to your children. And in this process, if you're not hearing the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but you are full of your own words and grumbling and ordering of people around you, and then when they listen to you, their heart didn't receive grace. They are not influenced by your words, but they avoid your words. So if you say, I know the Bible and the biblical principles, but under those principles, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're very slow. And so that's why many of us disciples, we are very rigid. We keep talking about the Holy Spirit. And some people, they didn't even talk about Holy Spirit, and their faith revolved only in church and with a lot of dry word, but they cannot live it out. Some Christians, they talk about very mystical and strange Holy Spirit, but they are not normal in their normal living. In their normal living, they should express their emotions naturally, those kind of joy, freedom, give people comfort and wisdom, and yet they are unable to do that. So they keep going to church to pursue very strange visions, but they are all ignorant of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the problem. So some people, they are very excited to know about the Holy Spirit, to rely on Him and be filled by the Holy Spirit, but they do not know where to start. So a lot of people, they go straight to the Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and everyone knows that. And so when they read about Pentecost, they think, wow, so fantastic. There is this fire, there's this wind, and there's this tongues. So a lot of Christians, they treat all these phenomena as the sign of Holy Spirit coming upon a person. So some Christian denominations, some worship teams, I've seen, is a very grand worship team leading thousands of people in worship, and some play the guitar, some play the drum, and then the worship leader just proclaim fire, fire. Have you seen such things? You know, come down fire, and keep asking for fire, because on the day of Pentecost there's fire. It's very dangerous to ask for fire, because sometimes it may not be the fire of the Holy Spirit, but the fire of judgment. So some people, they are not clear, they keep asking for all these things. And so some people, they say, let's all speak in tongues together. So it feels as if the atmosphere is filled by the Holy Spirit. But in fact, all these thousands of people, the way they talk about the tongues is what you taught them. It's the kind of tongues that you taught them. It's as if Holy Spirit is smaller than your tongues, and only when you speak tongues, then the Holy Spirit will come. But how can that be? How can Holy Spirit just come by what you say in your mouth and didn't come by what you don't say in your mouth? So all these are imitations and counterfeits. So once you are clear about this, your entire understanding of the Holy Spirit, your experience and encounter of the Holy Spirit will be totally different. Because you use the sense of your flesh, and the more you depend on that, the more you won't understand supernatural things. You won't understand what is meant by being convicted by faith, and that conviction is infinite. Sometimes you are convicted to preach. Sometimes you are convicted to be a filial child, to be a parent with authority, or to be a husband with love, to know how to give yourself up for your wife. And so this is the infinite conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not learn about this, and the more you rely on those other phenomena, you go another direction. So some Christians, I find them very pitiful. For 20, 30 years in the church, all they learn are rubbish. And so they, after learning many things, they don't even have the power to change life. But I say, the more you rely on all these things, the more you will know the true gospel. So let me say again. Spiritual, the Holy Spirit brings spiritual work in a human heart. And you must not turn that spiritual work into work of the flesh and external works and keep imitating that. So today, in the event of the Holy Spirit's descent during Pentecost, I want to bring out 4 points to help us clearly understand. So what does the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, tells us? So first, you must know that when Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, this is the last act of our Lord Jesus' salvation plan, and it will not be repeated. So when we talk about Jesus' redemption, the ordinary people will think that Jesus came in the form of man, and the Word became flesh, And he's like, you and I, we live on earth. He lives on earth. And then Jesus, he spent 33 years of life, and then he died on the cross. He resurrected. He appeared to the disciples and he ascended to heaven. And then it's finished. Is that truly finished? Actually, you still lack one more thing. After ascension is not the end. It must come to the day of the Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. So he gave, the last step is he gave the Holy Spirit, and that will complete his redemptive act. And so from then on, the disciples were prepared. And from then on, they will be led by the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel to the ends of the world. So the last step to finish the work of redemption is the Lord's giving of the Holy Spirit. And since this is the work of redemption, that means this is going to happen one time and it will not be repeated. Now, our Lord Jesus already was the Word became flesh and he died and resurrected. Is it possible that after a while, the disciples were very sorrowful and they keep asking Jesus to come in the form of flesh again? Or sometimes you feel very accused. Can you ask Jesus to go to the cross again, to be crucified again? We know this is not possible. Now the Holy Spirit has already come on the day of Pentecost. Is it possible that a few centuries later, the Holy Spirit, the disciples are very dry, and then can we ask the Holy Spirit to go up and come down again? No, it's not possible. So all these very key theological events will happen only one time, and you will not repeat again. Because once it's finished, you will not need to repeat again. So now it's not that the Holy Spirit is absent, but it's because you do not believe. You keep asking the Holy Spirit to come, you know, fire, come. You are just merely seeking for a feeling, because the Word has already been given and His Spirit is working, and He kept working. And why is it that you cannot see? So the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, that tells us that the last act was finished and it will not happen again. So do not keep searching for some feeling. And second, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. First of all, it's to bring the apostle a very necessary equipping. It's not, the Holy Spirit is not just a search of power, but it's not just the power. But this power comes to equip the whole person, the whole life, to prepare the apostles to become the first batch of witnesses, to complete the role, to finish the role as the first batch of witnesses. So on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit descended where and when? The Holy Spirit descended in Jerusalem because the Lord Jesus instructed the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit didn't come in Singapore, in America, in mass meeting, but it first came and descended in Jerusalem to the first batch of apostles, so they have a special role and authority. So there are miracles and signs and wonders that are exclusively performed by the apostles, and the apostles also exclusively wrote the Bible. So some miracles are exclusive, unique to the apostles. So if we want to pursue those things that is unique and exclusive to the apostles, if we want to hear what the apostle can hear, if you want to go to the third heaven that only the apostle can go, then you're completely mistaken. So in this whole process, we must understand that the first batch of witnesses, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and so from then on, the Holy Spirit filled the apostles, and the apostles could see that the Lord in their heart. And so the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and instructs you in all things and remind you of the words I've spoken to you. And now we ask, so whatever the apostle had encountered the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, can we experience too today? We know yes, the answer is yes. But the work of the Holy Spirit revealed through the apostle, through the apostles, will certainly be different. So, just like I mentioned, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the apostles have all these certain miracles and wonders unique to them. So, the apostles, they are the pioneers, but we are not. So, we must understand that from this perspective, you must know that all the healing conferences and meetings, I actually object to that. Because when do you see or when do you hear Jesus organized a healing conference? Even the apostle didn't do that to ask people to bring all the sick, the blind, the lame, and then they organize a healing and deliverance meeting. Actually, the apostles didn't do that. Even the apostles, they preached the gospel, and then the great power came upon them. And in the midst of this, there are people who were sick, who have health problems, demon-possessed, they appeared. So this is different from what a lot of modern Christians are doing today. You grab a person up and proclaim that Lucifer is on the person and you cast out demons. Now, all these things, I need to tell you that if the Holy Spirit didn't instruct you to do certain things, you must not do that thing, because otherwise you would draw another kind of spirit. So in the church, it's very typical. Benny Hinn and Kenneth Hagin are the two typical persons who do all these things. They proclaim that they have the Holy Spirit. And so during grand meetings, Benny Hinn, he threw his coat and as if he's Elijah, and then everyone just fell to the ground, and everybody start to laugh, and some people bark like the dog. Have you seen that? This is not a joke. I'm not attacking them. But in the black and white television in the past, we can see all these things. So you see, Kenneth Hagin, he also did such things. So all this holy laughter, and barking like animals, people deem that as the work of the Holy Spirit, but we must be careful about such things. But I need to say that they are actually blaspheming God's work, and even the Holy Spirit didn't do, and they dare to do it, so this is too much. But even so, what I want to say is, you must know, whatever I've been saying is to defend the faith. But now, from the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the kind of work that the Holy Spirit brought, you need to ask, is there the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Yes, there is. Now, without the work of the Holy Spirit, how can the Word of God come? In the beginning, during the work of creation, the Spirit of God hovers around the water. Without the Holy Spirit, how can the prophets hear the Word of God? Without the Holy Spirit, how can people believe in the Lord in the Old Testament? So without the Holy Spirit, people cannot believe. So in the Old Testament, there is also the work of the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, that brought about a new era of the Holy Spirit's work. So from then on, it is different. So in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came occasionally to make a person hear the word, the voice of God, and after that, the person cannot hear the voice anymore. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit filled the person, and then Elijah can bring fire down from heaven. And after that, when Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah, he was so afraid. So you realize that in the Old Testament, it seems as if the work of the Holy Spirit is occasional. And Holy Spirit can also work in non-believers to enable the non-believer to do the work of God, and then the Holy Spirit just lived. So in the Old Testament, we read about Samson. He had power. Suddenly, his hair was cut, and then he lost his strength. It's not about cutting his hair, but he didn't obey God. And so Samuel also can hear the voice of God. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's descent is a new beginning. So from then on, every child of God can enjoy the help of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to witness for God anytime. So the apostles, they are the primary witnesses, and so they see things with their own eyes, so they can say that, but you cannot say that. You are just a secondary witnesses, and whatever you have seen and preach is what the apostles said. And you believe in the word of God, and in your heart you are being touched, and in life sometimes you encounter God's help. You can preach about that, but you cannot talk about, you know, Jesus came to my room at night and spoke to me, and I received whatever visions and revelation, I've been to the third heavens. Try not to talk about such things. You can see that, or you have certain dream, you just keep the dream to yourself in the morning. Because all these things are not absolute. Only what the apostles see, those are absolute. Now ever a mother told me, my son see that there's this 2031 appearing in the sky. So the clouds form this number 2031. And so she just said, oh, is it because Jesus is coming back in year 2031? So what kind of explanation is that? These are things I cannot accept. Fine, you have seen it. I cannot say you didn't see it. You have seen it, you just be quiet. Do not need to share with others. So if you say this, people will say, I saw 2021 and so on. So all these things, try not to say. So the new era had begun, the new work of the Holy Spirit. So all believers of Christ, now if you call on to Him, you can be saved, you can be freed, you can receive His help. And so we need to use this, not just merely to know it. You must know how to pray to rely on Him. And sometimes you say, after praying, we do not see it, we cannot feel it, and you want to go and speak in tongues, but you must go back to the Word of God, go back to what God's promises say. Do not keep finding the feel, because the more you look for the feel, the more you won't understand spiritual stuff. I kept emphasizing all these things because this is the way you live your Christian living. How do you rely on God? Because if you use the wrong method, if you pursue what God has not given, then another kind of spirit will come upon you. And finally, the Pentecost help us see the birth of the church and the first revival. Now, do you like the term revival? When I went to China, many people like to pray, you know, through the Pastor Vincent Chu, bring upon us revival. But we need to ask, what is revival? No, revival doesn't mean the numbers are great or it's a grand scale. But revival means that this unusual thing, God's unusual coming, has happened. God's powerful presence, God's powerful work has come upon all saints. So this is unusual. It's extraordinary. And so the day of Pentecost is the first coming of the Holy Spirit. It's not just sensational with fire, wind, and tongues, but more importantly, when you look at Acts chapter 2, we read that Peter rose to preach. I mean, Peter just recently denied Christ, but when he was filled by the Holy Spirit, when he preached, I don't know how he preached. He just preached that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Lord. Have you seen that 3,000 people, all of them, they do not just hallelujah and applause for God, but they, all of them were cut to their hearts. And they asked, what should we do? What should we do? We have crucified our Lord. And then Peter said, at this moment, you must repent and be baptized, and then receive the Holy Spirit. So 3,000 people, the harvest of 3,000 believers, And more importantly, these 3,000 people, what happened within their heart is explosive things. It's the matter of being born again. It's the matter of repentance. So have you ever seen every week 3,000 people repented and believe in the Lord? So we must understand fire, wind, all these are unusual things. And so when we want revival, they would try to copy. And so in the past, when I went to China, every time when I lead the meetings, I was preaching. I haven't even started to preach. People start to cry. So I was thinking, why is everybody crying? I asked them not to cry. Because when you cry, you cannot open your ears to listen carefully. So sometimes they start crying when they are just singing hymns. Do not think that crying means they have repented. Some people, they cry because they are so sorrowful. You know, their husband didn't love them and so on. But no, I tell you, it's not that. In fact, that you must come before God, be cut to your heart and see the glory of God. Then that is real revival. And such a revival, you cannot have that every week. If every week you have this fire and wind coming upon you, then it's not very normal. But when I talk about this, I need to warn brothers and sisters, and because this is extraordinary, it didn't happen all the time. So some denominations, they will say, all these things, you must not always have all these things. We must meet and gather in a very normal way. So they never, the shepherds never carefully observe and reflect upon the lives of brethren. So for 10 years, 20 years, they worship in a very dry and numb manner. So they are always very normal, and that is also wrong. So although those kind of fire, wind, and 3,000 people repenting, that is not usual, but what is normal? What is normal should be you have the freedom and joy in Christ, witnessing for Him boldly, and be in love and shepherd each other. That is normal. So if you say that is abnormal, so what is the normal? So sometimes God's rebuke come upon the church is so that after that you need to restore a normal Christian living of a Christian. Now, we have been set up for 19 years. I know not many times, but a few times when I'm very dry and weak, I rose to rebuke everyone, and starting from myself, I repented. In certain things, I know we really do not believe in God's word. And so after a few times, those who needed to repent, they repent. Those who should be contrite, they were contrite. Those who should give up themselves, they gave up themselves. So they stopped giving in to their sins. And after that, amazingly, everyone truly got liberated, and we were delighted in the Lord. Although there's no sheep in the pen and the fig tree had no fruit, but we rejoice in the Lord. Actually, yes, we need a revival. We need the special descension of the Lord. Sometimes He rebuke us strongly, and after that, we restore the heart of loving and delighting the Lord. Now, it's not revival every week, or every day. But now, after all the introduction, now we don't have much time, but let's read the book of Acts. So today, we'll talk briefly about what happened in the day of Pentecost. Now, Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Mm-hmm.
another language. And now, verse 5, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So let's first ask, what is Pentecost? So when Pentecost came, some people say they came from Pentecostal church. So this is the meaning. So do you know what's the meaning of Pentecost? That is the 50th. But why 50? There's two meaning to this 50. One is related to the agriculture context of Israel. Second is related to God's giving of the commandment to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. First, agriculture. Now, there's a few great, there's three great festivals of Israel. The first is the Passover. And what has it got to do with agriculture? So Passover in the Jewish calendar is in the month of January. But if you talk about the worldwide calendar, it is the fourth month. But on the calendar of Israel, it is the first month, like New Year. And what has it got to do with agriculture? So that is the beginning of their harvest period. And then, after Passover, after 50 days after Passover, so some people said, after 50 days, the festival is now called the Feast of Weeks, because 7 weeks is 49 days. So on the 50th day, it could be the Feast of Weeks or it can be called Pentecost. So that is the completion of harvest. So Passover is the beginning of harvest. So after a few months, then that is the Feast of Tabernacles, because for winter they need to store up their grains. So three festivals. So Pentecost is the second one. And then our Lord Jesus, he suffered before Passover, and after Passover, 3 days later, he resurrected. And in between, how many days? 40 days he spent with his disciples to talk to them about the heaven. And 10 days later, so 50 days, the day of Pentecost came. So this is actually related to the Old Testament. So when we talk about harvesting, the completion of harvest. So because in the New Testament, there's also this meaning of, you know, harvest of souls. So 3,000 people believe in Christ on the day of Pentecost. So God is now harvesting human souls to save humans. So people are cut to their heart and believe in Christ. So this is the agricultural meaning. Second, I talk about the Lord giving His commandments. So we know that the Israelites came out from Egypt. And why was there Passover? Because that day, the angel of destruction passed over the doors with blood of the lamb. So those are the houses of the Israelites. And the angel of the destruction killed all the firstborn of the Egyptian. And so from then on, Passover was established. And from then on, you must remember Passover. And so that's the beginning of Passover. And then they went into the wilderness. Actually, God sent them to wilderness. The main reason is to give them God's laws, decrees, stipulations, and ask them to build the tent of meeting and follow the tent of meeting, follow the Lord. So from Exodus all the way to God giving them the commandments on Mount Sinai, all this is a span of 50 days. So Pentecost is related to God giving commandments on Mount Sinai. So what's the meaning, significance? So in the Old Testament, God has given the commandments, but the heart of God's people are hardened and stiffened. But on the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit came, it is different now, because the law of God is now written on the hearts of His people. So Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27 said, I will put my spirit in you, and I will make turn your heart of stone to heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And so this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. So New Testament is not abolishing the law, but Holy Spirit fulfilled the law so that people of God can love God and love men and satisfy the requirements of the law. So this is a very important thing. So when we think about Mount Sinai, we also think about fire, wind, and sounds. All these are phenomena related to Mount Sinai. So this is what God has done in the heart of His people through the Holy Spirit. So we must understand the background to Pentecost. Now, when and where did the Holy Spirit descend on the disciples? So first, just now we read the Bible very clearly said when the disciples gathered at one place, when disciples gathered and not doing other things, then the Holy Spirit come. So let me say again, when you worship God alone at home, if you can do that for 100 years, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you need to gather, you should gather. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit come. So God's revival work cannot be predicted. We cannot predict when will God's work come, which miracle will when miracles will come. We can only be faithful, and we can only faithfully following God's will to complete His will, and God will do the most beautiful work in His time. And that is God's work, and no one can imitate the work of revival, because God will determine the time of revival. And third, the Holy Spirit came in the house where they were at. So where is this house? Is it at the Mark's upper room, or is it at the temple? There's a lot of room, or one of the main halls. But I believe it is in the temple, because other than Mark's upper room, and Mark's upper room is not far from temple. If you look at chapter 5, you see that they are at the east side of the outer court of the temple, and there is this Solomon's corridor. If you go to, so these 3,000 people, they came to worship God, and suddenly extraordinary sign appeared, and the other 3,000 people are aware. So it must be in a very huge place. So if it's in a small house, how can the 3,000 people notice it? So it must be in the temple. And so eventually, my final point today is, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, three phenomena appeared. Basically, what three things? Wind, fire, tongues. So if somebody say, oh, Pentecost is here, and then people look for signs, and these are the three signs. But this thing only happened once. If you look at verse 2, and it reads, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Now, if a violent wind came, people will be blown off. So it's like a sound. It's referring to the sound of a blowing wind. So people hear like the sound of a violent wind. And verse 3, it says, tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now these three experiences, the nature and source of these three experiences are supernatural. meaning that sound of the violent wind is not wind, but it sounded like wind. And then that fire, the fires, the tongues of fire is not fire, because if it's fire, it will burn you up. But it looks like fire. And then the tongues is another language. It's not the language that they usually used. So the eloquence given by the Holy Spirit is not what humans can learn. Now, if those people who do not understand all these things, they will keep asking for fire. I've ever seen Joseph Prince in a meeting that he's leading, a healing ministry attended by thousands of people, and he said, have you ever, do you all hear the sound? Do you feel a surge of wind on your face? And then he started to speak in tongues. And then he asked someone to bring people with pains in the waist, leg, shoulder, and then he lay hands on them and asked them, are you still painful? Some of them, they say, oh, maybe doesn't seem like there's no more pain. Then he say, hallelujah, everybody clap. I don't know what he's doing. This is imitating the signs of Pentecost, the supernatural things. But thoroughly do not understand what is spiritual and supernatural things. They're just using flesh things to imitate. Those kind of meetings, if it increase slowly, people will not understand what is meant by being filled by the Holy Spirit and what is supernatural. I mentioned just now that man's problem is to use natural things that you can sense to imitate the supernatural things. Now, these three phenomena is not just in terms of the sense of touch, but its significance is important. So next week, when you read verse 12, someone asked, what does this mean? So they are amazed and perplexed, so they asked, what does this mean? So first of all, we know our Lord Jesus ever said, the wind just blow by his will, and John the Baptist said, in future, someone of greater, who is more powerful than me will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So therefore, we will know. What does wind reveals? That reveal a supernatural power. That is the power to enable the disciples and the apostles to witness, and that's the power to make a person regenerate and repent. Now, which other power is more powerful than this power in the world? Now, you may have leg pain, and after that, you may be healed, but after that, you still walk the path of the world, and you go to karaoke and go to have fun. What kind of power is this? Now, your body is healed, versus your heart is transformed and renewed. And from then on, you walk the path of heaven, and you no longer is attracted by things of the world. Now, the path of regeneration. Regeneration means your desire, the life direction of a person totally changed. That is the power of the wind. So today, let me tell you, no matter what miracles you perform in the church, people will still love the world and love themselves. Sometimes you stir them to go for missions and do many things, build houses, and they feel that they are very useful for a while, but when they come back, they still lead their own lives. So it's not about that. Once you are transformed, you will never turn back. That is the power of the wind. Second, what is fire? Fire is to purify. When you put the gold into fire, it will be pure gold. So for a person to be regenerated and sanctified, the person needs to go through fire to burn up all his selfish desires and passions. So Isaiah said that, woe is me, because I live in the land of unclean lips. And the angel used the burning coal to touch his lips and claim that his sins are removed. So a person's sins are being cleansed, and the selfish desires and passion are being burned up. This is something great, great. So every time when you listen to the word of God, it's like the supernatural effect of fire is happening to you. So things that you really yearn after on earth, things that you cannot let go on earth, those things are being burned up. And amazingly, from then on, you are free. And then you produce the love of God. So that's the power of fire. So what fire, what wind, it's not that kind of sensational things. So this Pentecost, it cannot be repeated. You cannot imitate. But the power that the Lord is trying to explain to us, that power is still present. It is present every time when you hear the gospel. And third, they start to speak in other tongues. So why other tongues? So do not anyhow speak in tongues, unless it's really given by the Holy Spirit. But other tongues, it refers to the fact that God's gospel of redemption is for all nations. So for generations, there are people who believe in the Lord. So this gospel will be preached to the ends of the world, and then the end will come. So we keep learning how to preach. Learning how to speak in tongues. You ask whether people around you, they are converted to gospel, or whether your life has changed. If you speak in tongue and you are always being drawn into selfish desires, then what has this tongues done to you? Now, some of you have been taught in that way about speaking in tongues, and if you go in and certain unusual phenomena, if you go down that track, you will be more and more abnormal in your normal life. So there is the guidance of the Holy Spirit in normal living, and God is helping you, guiding you, anointing you in practical living. So when people live with you, they like to be near you, and they are curious about your faith, and they will be thinking, what is it that you believe in? Why are you so special? But if you do not have that, but in the church, you only attend those kind of mystical meetings, you are actually drifting further and further away from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just criticizing your previous church. I want you to ponder deeply. If you have been in those kind of church for 20 years, 30 years, you look at you and yourself and your children. What have you become? Some children, you know, when they have a certain logic and they study science, they feel they are more logical than their mothers who go after all these mystical things. I'm not against speaking in tongues, but what I'm against are things that are not given by God but imitated by humans. So as I conclude, I want you to focus on one thing. So wind, fire, and other tongues. So from all this, you notice that later on, all these things are not mentioned anymore because the focus came upon the words of the apostles. The Holy Spirit worked through the words of humans, words to praise God, to witness for Christ. So the wind and fire, the supernatural power, the supernatural purification comes in the words. So just like pastor is now preaching the words of God, so the power of purification, power of God, is all within the words of the preacher. So Peter's mouth, you see that Peter rose to preach, Peter's words to spread the gospel, that those words cut people's heart so that people repent and they turn from the perverted world. And I will talk about that next week. But we must understand that we must not seek a power outside the gospel. So a person's heart must be able to dwell on the gospel, and a person's mouth must be able to preach the gospel. No power is greater than this. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word today, and those are your words of power. Lord, you reform us. You also strengthen us with your word, so that we will not remain in a weak and lukewarm state, so that we truly know you and know your Holy Spirit and what your Holy Spirit is doing in us. So Lord, please bless this group of brethren so that we are not just teachable, but we can also understand your word. Lord, we thank you and we pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.